Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Tamsin, for reading, and good morning, everyone. And if we've not met, my name is Andrew, and I'm the curate here. It's a bit like a trainee vicar, so that's me. Well, I imagine as soon as Tamsin said the first line there, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged," you may have worked out the reason that we watched that video before the reading. But before we go any further, let me pray, and then let's have a think about this passage together. Father God, thank you that you look upon us with grace and mercy and love. You don't dismiss our sin, but you have paid for our sin in the Lord Jesus. And we pray this morning as we come to think about these words that if we are those who have accepted the salvation Christ offers, if we've repented, if we've come in, then we pray that you would be making us more and more like you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you were watching that video, it's quite difficult to tell. I was sitting over there looking across trying to judge your judging faces. It was difficult because everyone's wearing a mask. But if you're anything like me, the first time I watched that video, when I saw that kid kick the dog, well, I wanted to give him a piece of my mind. Did you judge that boy? As I say, I did. Knowing nothing more than what I'd seen, I thought I was capable to judge his actions. Now, I'm not saying he was right to kick the dog, but wasn't there a real kind of moment at the end when you saw that the boy, like the dog, was missing a limb? It's hard to imagine his lived experience as someone who has all of my limbs. The frustration, the cruel words said by other children, the feeling of isolation, the daily struggle just to get dressed or navigate stairs or go for a walk, the things that we take for granted, most of us. Judge not, or you will be judged. Well, this week we come to another of Jesus' sayings, "Judge not, that you or you will be judged," that is so famous that even people who may never have been to church, who would say that they're not a Christian, might even have quoted this at you. Don't know if you've ever had that experience. I had that experience a few times in the office that I used to work in. Perhaps you express a moral opinion on some issue of the day and they say, "Do not judge or you will be judged." And it's sort of an instant trump card, isn't it? Say, you can no longer speak because Jesus has told you you're not allowed to judge. Well, is that what it means? Does Jesus mean never make any moral judgments about issues? Never make any moral judgments about people? Well, if you've been here or you've been watching online the last few weeks and you've been listening into the Sermon on the Mount, well, you know that can't be right. Because across chapters 5 and 6, Jesus has been repeatedly encouraging us to make moral judgments. Moral judgments about ourselves, about anger and lust and divorce and truth-telling and revenge and pride and money and even worry. Jesus says there are moral implications to all of these things. And in the very passage we've just had read, moments after Jesus says, "Do not judge," he says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred and do not cast pearls before pigs." Now, Jesus isn't giving us farming advice. He's saying there are some people that you will need to judge to fall under his shocking description of dogs and pigs. A few verses later, about a month from now, we'll be looking at Jesus' words where he says, "Watch out for false prophets," verse 15. "They come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like they're on your side, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Again, Jesus is actively encouraging us to judge, you might say, to discern, to evaluate, to think carefully who's a true prophet, who's a false prophet. Listen out to one and run away from the other. So what then does Jesus mean when he says, "Don't judge"? Well, part of our problem is just the range of meanings of the English word judge. As with the examples above, it can mean simply to discern or evaluate. Do I buy this car or this car? It's a judgment call. It's neutral. But here Jesus doesn't mean that. He means when we take it upon ourselves to pronounce guilt upon another, to think that we have the right, as if we're seated on the judge's bench, to pass down judgments on other people. Jesus says to us, don't be a judge. Don't be a judge. Don't be the kind of person who loves pointing out the failures of others, putting the worst possible interpretation on their motives, and allowing no margin for them to be human, to have faults, to take a misstep, to make a mistake. Now, I don't know where your mind goes when you think about this. I can think of all sorts of applications to the world out there, to the tabloid newspapers, to gossip at work, to Twitter, the rise of cancel culture. But actually, Jesus' primary concern here is within the church. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, Jesus says, when you look at the speck in your brother's eye, how can you seek to take the speck out of your brother's eye? If you haven't first taken the plank out of your own eye, do that, then take it out of your brother's eye. Jesus is talking about as we look around in the church at other people who have repented, who've believed, who've been brought in and are now adopted children of God, one family, and yet we're still constantly pointing out our siblings' faults, judging them and putting them down. Why do we do it? Why does it come so easily to us? I think it comes down to our desire for self-justification. Because if I put you down, then I can lift myself up. It justifies my thinking that I am better than you are. Oh, look at her. Late to church again. If she was a good Christian like me, she'd be on time every week. She'd make it a priority. Oh, look at him, unable to keep his children under control during the service. I guess they just haven't been raised properly, like my children. Oh, what is she wearing? That is far too casual for church. And the way she speaks, so uncouth. Jesus says to us, don't be a judge. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. And Jesus doesn't mean judged by other people. Judge people and they'll judge you back. He means if we judge others, we will be judged by God. Well, why? Because if judging others is our habit, it may be a sign that we aren't a believer at all, that we haven't truly repented of our sin. If we look at others only ever to condemn, and never with grace, never with mercy, it may show that actually we're not a child of God ourselves, that we haven't really believed that our status as Christians is not righteous because I'm a good person, but righteous because Jesus was a good person and he died in my place, totally unworthy on my own account to be called a child of God, but given that right unconditionally by saying yes and thank you to God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus. Now clothed not in my own sinful humanity, no self-righteousness, but in Jesus' righteous deeds. You see, the very act of passing judgment on others shows that I don't truly understand my place. When I pass judgment on others and condemn them as being not as good as me, then it shows that I think I'm qualified to be not sitting amongst the people, but sitting on the judge's bench, handing down judgments on everybody else. And if we do that, then we make ourselves liable to receive not God's mercy, but his judgment on us. Verse 2, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If we judge others by our standards, use our measure on them, that is, as if we're kind of running a measuring tape over them to see if they measure up, rather than showing them grace, rather than showing them the same mercy that God has offered to us, well, then God may well measure us by his standards, and we won't measure up. We will fall short. Now, this is no more, it might sound shocking. It does sound shocking. We need to think seriously about this. But it's no more than Jesus has already said, and that we have already said today in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us. And Jesus explains that in verse 15 of chapter 6. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, it's not a tit for tat. If I don't forgive A, God will not forgive B. But if there's no forgiveness in my heart for others, then it's a troubling sign that I may not actually have received God's forgiveness. Because true disciples have received forgiveness, they will offer forgiveness to others. The sign of someone who has genuinely received God's mercy is that we're merciful to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It is breathtakingly important that we get this, that Jesus is saying that a sign of whether we have truly put our trust in our Father is that we will remove ourselves from the judge's seat, God's seat, and acknowledge that only God has the right to pass down judgments, to judge human value and worth. Because God alone has the moral perfection to see clearly, no logs in his eyes, and the complete knowledge to understand the whole picture. We saw last summer in the book of James, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? God says to us, judge not, or you will be judged. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus doesn't want us to just stop being judges of one another, and that's that. Because actually, love demands more of us than that. Love demands more than we just stop judging others. Jesus says, don't be a judge. Be a friend. Don't be a judge. Be a friend. Well, back here behind me, Steve's been doing a bit of woodwork over the last couple of months, making a new sound desk. Now, I often work in the study, little study just there, and imagine that I'm working in the study, and I wander out to get a cup of tea, and I look across, and Steve's eye is a little bit red, and it looks like there's a tiny little bit of sawdust in his eye. And I say, Steve, you idiot! You've got some sawdust in your eye. You can't carry on like that. I'll get it out for you. And then Steve looks around and sees me with this sticking out of my eye. And I say, don't worry, Steve. I'll get it out of your eye. Let me get right in your eye and grab that bit of sawdust for you. It's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, Jesus is deliberately saying, it's ridiculous. If you've got a plank in your eye, get the plank out before you try and help someone with a tiny bit of sawdust. Jesus says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your eye? You hypocrite. You hypocrite, Jesus says. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Well, that's another of Jesus' incredibly famous illustrations, again, just often used generally to describe hypocrisy, specks and planks. But what might it look like in the context of a church? Well, there's some easy and obvious ones. The youth pastor sleeping with his girlfriend while telling the teenagers not to look at porn. The minister who berates his church for their lack of sacrificial giving while driving around in a brand new Mercedes. The gossip who tells off someone who occasionally swears, but they themselves are consistently gossiping about others. Or complaining about the way that we've been served in church. They didn't do the tea and coffee right. The music's not very good. We don't like this or that or the other, but we ourselves never offering to serve. And there's a truth there, isn't there, in hypocrisy. Don't come to me to talk about my little issue if I know you've got a massive issue in your life. I'm not going to listen to you. And actually, if we've got a huge plank in our eye, then what we think is a speck in someone else's eye, well, it might actually turn out to be a little splinter poking off the side of our plank. Once we've got rid of the plank and we can see clearly, there might actually be no issue to deal with at all. But Jesus doesn't say stop there. You see, the meaning is not that in every case the person doing the judgment is a worse sinner than the person with a speck in their eye, but rather to pick up on a speck in your eye, if I am completely unaware of the plank in my own, is hypocrisy. And it is only as I examine myself, if I say, do you know what? Is there a log in my own eye? As I look carefully at myself and I realize my own sin, my own weakness, only then will I be in the place to approach a brother or sister in the delicate operation of removing a speck from their eye. As I recognize that whatever my life looks like, I too fall short. I too don't live up to the standard of be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect that Jesus calls us to. Jesus' words convict all of us. And if I don't do that inspection first, if there is a big plank of hypocrisy sticking out of my eye, if I come in as judge, as Pharisee, as holier than thou, then I'm likely to be like the proverbial bull in the china shop and actually do more harm than good. But if I recognize that I, like you, you like me, we are a sinner, a fellow sufferer and sinner, coming in not as judge to stand over you, but as friend, brother, sister, knowing myself to stand alongside you, then I am much more likely to enter in gently, carefully, humbly, and say, I think I can see something in your life that actually it would be wonderful to deal with. Do you know what the Lord says about this issue? It would be so much more wonderful if you were able to live out his fullness in your life on this matter. Don't be a judge, be a friend. But those last confusing words, dogs and pigs, we need to know. Don't be a judge, be a friend, but some people will refuse our help. Don't be a judge, be a friend, but some people will refuse our help. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Well, yet another famous saying, colloquial saying, don't cast your pearls before swine. An old friend of mine who is a vet once told me about he was chased across two fields, jumping the fences, and behind him jumped a mother pig who was very angry with him. He'd been clipping the toenails of the piglets, went a little bit too close with one of them, that piglet squealed, the mother was after him. Two fields this pig chased him across, and the last he only managed to escape by jumping and running up a huge sort of semicircular corrugated iron pig pen and standing on the top. But as he did so, as he jumped up there, he felt the pig's snout just graze his elbow. And I was like, mate, it's a pig. What were you worried about? And being a vet, he actually knew what he was talking about. And he was like, mate, a pig can bite through a tree root another inch and it would have taken his arm off. Wild pigs in Jesus' day were known to rampage through villages, eating whatever they came across, even decaying flesh, even human flesh. In fact, wild pigs could be responsible for the deaths of small children left unattended in the streets. Similarly for the dogs, don't think Crufts here, don't think those little dogs you see carried around in handbags. These are dirty, scavenging street dogs, unclean in Jewish thinking because of what they eat and the way they behaved, and similarly capable of turning on you if they thought they smelt weakness. Well, what does it mean? Well, just as hungry dogs and pigs would not appreciate being thrown gold from the temple or precious pearls and would be liable to trample them underfoot as they head for something that looks a lot tastier, you, in the same way, Jesus says, what is precious is not to be cast thoughtlessly before people who have no appreciation of it. And in the context here, given what Jesus has just been speaking about, what is sacred, I think, is most likely to be our attempts to help a brother or sister in Christ towards holiness. We've seen that if Jesus says, if we see a brother or sister caught in sin, if we see a speck in the eye, then love demands that, after self-examination, after seeking as far as we can to know our place, to approach them humbly, gently, carefully, then love demands that we seek to be a friend, that we seek to get the splinter out of the eye, that we seek to help. But here's the thing. Sometimes, however humbly, however graciously, however kindly we approach someone, we still don't know how they're going to receive it. In the language of Proverbs chapter 9, we don't know who will be a fool and who will be wise. This is Proverbs 9 verse 7. Whoever corrects a fool invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked risks violence. Do not rebuke fools, or they will hate you. Rebuke a wise person, and they will love you. When we approach someone and say, gently, humbly, lovingly, do you know what? I think there's this thing in your life which is a stumbling block to you, which is a problem to others, which is displeasing to the Lord. Can I help you with that? Some people will say, thank you. Yes, I'd love you to help me with that. And some people will get angry with you and may not want to be your friend anymore. And Jesus says that after we've tried once, and probably after we've tried again, there may come a time when it becomes pointless, even unwise, to continue attempting to help someone. Now, this teaching of Jesus is for exceptional situations. Our normal Christian duty is to be patient, to persevere as God has patiently persevered with us. But sometimes it will be the case. Some people, whatever we do, will refuse our help. But until then, Jesus says, don't help hypocritically. Help humbly. Don't be a judge. Be a friend. Let's pray that Jesus would help us to do that. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy and grace shown to us. As we've thought about these things, each of us, again, if we know ourselves, if we examine ourselves honestly, we know how easy it is for us to judge, for us to look down upon others and look well upon ourselves, to think ourselves better than others. Father, we pray, help us to take ourselves off the judge's seat and put you back there. May we, having received mercy and grace from you, show that mercy and grace to others. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.